This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. All right, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. And as you're turning there, I have to say something to lead into this, which preachers always have to say something about something, right? So when I was lost, I heard a lot of terms in church growing up. It was not in a Bible-believing church, per se, and never paid much attention to them at all because I didn't know what they meant, and nobody explained them. Then I got saved, and I started hearing some of the same terms and still didn't know what they meant. And then teachers began explaining them. And I thought, wow. Why didn't I know that? Well, because nobody took the time to tell me. And then, after I got out of school, we went out to Montana and started a church. And I started giving out a lot of the same terms, thinking that surely, as these people grew up in a Bible-believing atmosphere, they would know what those terms were. And found out that was not the case. And then, even as we came here and started, it was the same thing, where there's a lot of terms that we use that are biblical terms. Many people don't know what they are. And in not knowing what they are, you come to wonder, what did they understand about anything when it comes down to it? Because, you know, when I was lost, all I did was go through the motions. Whoever delivered something out of the Bible, which I don't remember anything that was delivered out of the Bible, I didn't know what it meant. It didn't have any relevance to me. And like I talked to this lady the other week, when she left Catholicism and went into the Lutheran Church, and I said, well, what made you pick that? And she said, well, because I like the way the preacher preaches. And I said, I gave her a little bit of the background and told her what I believed. Didn't know why I believed any of the things that I believed, and that I was lost. Because nobody ever told me Christ did what He did for me personally. And I said, do you? She said, no. I said, so why do you like what He preaches when He doesn't tell you what He did for you? Right. And so giving her the material that I gave her, I said, look, if this makes any sense to you, don't hesitate to do what it says. And that it's not just to believe, but to call on Christ to save you in faith. I said, you know, all of this means nothing if you don't get that. So, with that in mind, I realized the necessity to be simple. And simple isn't always simple. But you have to be simple. So you have to take things that sometimes may appear to be complex and make them understandable without going outside of the framework of Scripture and involving your own experience. Okay, so let's read the first six verses, and then we'll go to the New Testament. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Right? Luke chapter 19. And if I'm correct, there shouldn't be anything here that those of you that have a solid Bible background will look at and say, I never saw that before. Unless you've been going through the motions. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I never knew that. I just thought he went to the cross and paid for the sins of the world. But I wasn't in that world. I was never a part of that world. I was just some arbitrary figure, you know, floating through some space. John chapter 10, here's the third one. John chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before thee thanking thee for the reading of your word. We don't come here as scholars. We come here, hopefully for the most part, as your children through faith in Christ. That may be not for all of us. I don't know. But I do know that that's how you want it to be. You desire to, it's your will for that to be. And so, if it's your will, then it should be our will. And I believe we should make a point of it to make sure it is our will here in this local church as well. We just ask you to speak to every heart, wherever they may be spiritually, and in salvation, and to those who are lost. I am not very clever. I don't seek to be clever. I don't seek to deceive. I want someone to know the church, the truth, and to act on the truth. Nothing less will suffice. So I pray that you speak through the things that you will allow me to say and hold back from me the things that perhaps I shouldn't say. And that the message will not fall on deaf ears, tired ears, or tired bodies. And for that to happen, we now understand the Holy Spirit has to have control of us as well. So speak to our hearts, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back to chapter 1, John chapter 1. At the introduction of the Lord Jesus Christ's public ministry, an amazing and very fundamental, essential declaration is made by John the Baptist. Verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, that is limited to one person. It excludes all others. And so therefore, it must be Jesus Christ. If you want somebody to take away your sin, it has to be Christ. It can't be any of these other religions or cults or sects or whatever is out there. It has to be Him. All right, then the record goes on to the disciples. Verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Go down to verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which it is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. So two times, we're found here, 39 and then 46, this declaration of come and see, and they did. They actually did. Now, it's important that these two things take place. You can come and not see. You can do things and not see. You can sit here and not hear. I went up to get some clothing and some material things from my father up in Maryland after my stepmother died. And so I went up in the truck and loaded up. I think I had a freezer and some clothes and things like that. And I was bringing them home. And I didn't stay long up there, so I was kind of tired. I was driving on I-95. I saw a sign that said 8 miles to I-26. South Carolina. Never saw another thing until after I had gone to the interchange there of I-26 and hit a rest stop. My eyes were wide open, but I was asleep as asleep could be. It scared me. I pulled over. I said, how can, you know, I guess I need some rest. But it was nothing. I knew nothing for that 8 month stretch. All right, you can sit here, your eyes may be wide open, and you don't get a thing. It's just dead. Absolute deadness. All right, you've got to try to avoid that under all circumstances. These people heard, and they came, and they saw. That's important. All right, so there are at least four calls of Christ. Not in any particular order, and I'll give you some of the verses for the chapters, but there is the come unto me in Matthew 11. There is learn of me in Matthew 11. There is follow me in John 1 and Matthew chapter 4. And there is abide in me in John chapter 15. All of those are calls to people. So I'm going to use this phrase, come and see. And hopefully you will. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Towards the end of the chapter, I call this the great invitation. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, there's a number of things to find in this verse. Number one, it is a royal call. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The Holy Spirit. All right? In this passage alone, just now, at this particular time, the Holy Spirit and we, the bride, should be saying, come to anybody that's lost. Number two, it is a timely call. Let him that is athirst come. Are you hungry and thirsty for the Word of God, for salvation in Christ, for eternal life, for all the blessings that get bestowed upon you by having Christ as your Savior? Then come and see. Number three, it is an earnest call because it's repeated three times in the verse. First time by the Spirit, the second time by the bride, and the third time by the believer. And they unite in that verse. You can't be successful if you leave the Holy Spirit out. You can't be successful if you don't have Christ. So all of that has to happen. Number four, it is a universal call. And you better get this, because we are living in a day when words don't mean what they say. Whosoever. Whosoever. That's not whosoever with an asterisk. And the asterisk is, oh no, whosoever of a select group. No, whosoever. Number five, it is a final call. It is a final call because this is the last invitation in the Word of God. There is coming a time, as the Lord tarries, that you will hear your last invitation. And you better be sure you respond to the right one before it's eternally too late, because there'll be no more invitations. There are a lot of churches that don't even give invitations. They care so little about their people, they don't care whether they're saved or they're lost. We went to a church, Holiness Church in Hope Sound, 2 years ago, somewhere in the past. And we went there because they were a holiness group. We knew what they were. And the lady helped put the Our Grace and Power periodical together when we were publishing it. And really a devout woman of God. And so she had died. And so we went there. It's a college and church together. And we were about as disappointed can be. Because holiness was now contemporary. And how do you justify those two? And there was no concern for anybody. There was no invitation. And as a matter of fact, it was closed. Thanks for coming. See ya. That was it. So theologically, they've moved. And you've got to be careful. Okay, in verse 17, it says, come and take of the water of life freely. All of us, not just me, all of us need to pay attention to who is addressed. Whom is addressed? Whosoever. That before I was saved, that was addressed to me. But I never knew that. And it was never explained to me. Whosoever is not a hard word. Does anybody not know whosoever, what whosoever means? Because I find whosoever is a hard word for people to understand today, because we've made the simple complex. Not we, but there's people that are in places of authority. That's just what they've been doing. We need to pay attention to the source of the invitation. Who is it? The Lord Jesus Christ. It is not me. It's not this church. It's not a creed. And sometimes the creeds, as accurate as they may be, have been the downfall of many people, because all they're doing is saying words. None who respond to the invitation of the Spirit and of the bride and of the believer in faith will be denied. None. So our basis for coming to Christ is found in a number of passages. So go back to Isaiah 55. If you would. Isaiah chapter 55. And I want you to look at the last verse that I read there, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. To me, this is very, very important. It goes along with chapter 22, verse 17. We come to Christ because we're permitted to come. There are places you can go today, communities, gated communities, and unless you have an invitation, you're not permitted to get into that. You can't go there. Condominiums are famous for this. They do it under the basis of no solicitation, and we've got a gate. And if you don't know somebody in there, then you cannot get in. When we go up to Mars Hill and stay in the cabin, there's a resort, not a big resort, but it's a gated community. And we used to be able to get in there. And now we're not permitted to go in there unless we're in, go in with a realtor. They don't want anybody in there. Right? You have permission on the authority of the Word of God to come to Christ. That's important. There is no barrier here. No gate. Right? In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden." We have an invitation to come. And not only come, but in verse 29, to learn of Him. We have an invitation. It's there in 22:17. It's in Matthew 11:28. And we're permitted to come. Number three, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 20. And then 21. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." We come to Christ because we are entreated. There's a pleading there. To come to Christ. He's pleading with us. Paul is pleading with those that he was writing to in Corinth to plead for those who are lost to come to Christ. Plead with them. It's not enough that you just throw something at them that is accurate. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's as true as it was when it was written. But if you don't plead, if you don't get into the verse with somebody, what does it mean to them? Their eyes may be open, but you haven't invited them. You haven't said, "Come and see." Number four, 1 John chapter 3, our basis for coming to Christ is because it is commanded. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 23. "And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ." A lot of people don't know that that is a command in the Word of God. "This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us His commandment." Acts chapter 17, verse 30. "God commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Repentance is commanded, and so is belief, faith. "It is God's will, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, for all men to be saved." You can sit here and say, "No, it's an option for me. I can take it and I can leave it." Well and good. That's your choice. But you can't designate the consequences of a denial and what God says. We come to Christ because when we come to Christ, we are assured of our salvation. And we can go to a number of verses. In John 3:16, John 3:36, John 5:24, John 6:47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath," present tense, "everlasting life." Don't try me with, "Well, what if I walk away?" Well, you've got some other scriptures there that says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You tell me how you can break the seal. I'd like to know. So I maintain the people that walked away never believed in the first place. And then number six, our basis for coming is that those who do not are lost forever. Forever. There are no second chances. There is no universalism. There's no, well, like the Mormons, I guess if we don't become a Mormon, we go to hell and we suffer some punishment down there. And when your course is over, then you get exalted into one of the three kingdoms. Universalism. Nobody dies in this goes to hell and the lake of fire forever, according to them. But see, they're not reading the Bible. Right? So, I have a children's story. Because I want to be simple. There's a 9-year-old girl by the name of Lisa. And she was excited. It was summer. And her mother promised her that she could have a yard party on a certain day. And she had been sick, and so this was a monumental thing for her. And she knew that when her mom made her a promise, it was a sure thing. So she thought of all the different decorations that she should get. And her mother said that you can invite as many people as you want. Yeah, it's totally up to you. And she was thinking to herself, you know, my mom is just the best, absolute best. And now, after that accident that she had, she was well enough. She could walk without crutches. And the burns that she sustained in whatever accident she had were healing. And so she asked her mother, well, what should I do first? And the mother said, well, you should probably start with invitations. She said, why? Well, she says, no one will come if they're not invited. Now listen, this is a children's story. And look how profound that is, because there are many people that still do not understand that. No one comes unless they're invited. And you've been invited by Christ. So she got some bright construction paper and some other colored paper, and she started cutting out large capital letters and formed them down the left side of the paper. There was a letter C, a letter O, a letter M, and a letter E. And on the right side, she filled in all the details of where and when and all that kind of business. Took her a long time to do it. It was a lot of work. And now she was finished. And now that she was finished, it was time to give out the invitations. What good are the invitations if they're not given out? She could have put them in a folder like the choir has, and shut it and put it on the shelf. No, they had to be given out. So the day of the party arrived, and it was so much better than anything she ever could have imagined. And everybody had a great time. The food was good. Everything went well. Everybody left. And a few hours later, she was sitting in the living room on the sofa, and she just had her head down. Mother figured she was tired. It was just too much. And she said, what's wrong? She says, well, I'm disappointed. I said, at what? She said, some of them didn't come. I invited them. And I know they knew that I invited them, but they didn't come. A week or so went by, and she finally got the answers to her questions why they didn't come. Each had their own excuse. All valid. All felt that there was something else more important than going to her party. Now the party was over, it was too late. They weren't there, but she missed them anyway. Okay, a very simple child story. What I think has a very profound spiritual truth. The Lord Jesus Christ has sent a personal invitation to you, to me, to all of us. He preserved it for us so that nobody could change it. Because if you go to certain places today, you don't hear this invitation. He preserved it, and he wants it given out. He doesn't want it withheld. He wants it given out. People need to know. He shed his blood. And in the shedding of blood, there's a remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. There's no atonement. But when he shed his blood, the penalty of sin was being paid by him in full. And of course he died and he was buried and he rose again the third day to make the way for you to come to him. Because if he did not do that, even if he just died by electrocution and rose from the dead, you couldn't come to him. It had to be the blood. The blood had to be shed. And if he didn't do all those things, none of us could be saved. And all of us are wasting our time. You might as well bring another book with you and read it during church. You might as well not pay attention. You might as well fold your arms and go to sleep. But he did all of those things so that you could come to him. And while the invitation is personal, every single one of us must choose whether to come or not to come. I don't know how many times somebody talked to me about salvation. But I know when I finally talked to the preacher down there in Miami, it was not the first time, but I rejected the other times. Because I had heard not what they were saying, but what I experienced. And I was equating what they were saying with that experience. You got to be careful you don't do that. I can't whitewash your past. I can't whitewash your memory. But you need to look at this from the perspective of what God is saying, despite what the past is about. And if the past is biblical, you're not seeing any problem here. But if it's not, you're going to see a problem. And you're going to judge me and the Word of God by your past. And you may not come. And you may die and go to hell forever. Lisa's simple formula was very, very simple. I mean, very profound. See, Jesus calls all of us. He knows we're sinners. He knows we've disobeyed the Word of God. He knows we couldn't have kept the Word of God. He knows that we deserve punishment for our sin, which is death. And still His love for us made Him come and be the sacrifice for sin that we could never atone for what we've done. We could never make up for it. We could never work for it. We could never pay for it. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us. Circle it. Put your name there. God commendeth His love toward me, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me, us. Oh, obey His command. You must obey the Savior's call in order to receive His salvation and the home that He has prepared for you. It doesn't happen because your parents were Christians. It doesn't matter that your husband or your wife is saved. It doesn't happen that way. You have to obey His command to you. It's the same call that many of us obeyed and came to Christ. You must make the move to Him. And our memory verses, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not whosoever has saved parents. Whosoever goes to an independent fundamental Baptist church. Whoso sings in choirs. Whoso preaches messages. None of that is valid unless you call on Him to be saved. John 1:12, but as many as received Him. How are you going to receive Him if you don't call on Him? Sometimes we've got the idea. Let me go to the verse. But as many as received Him, them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. We've got the word believe, we have faith, and we have trust, all which mean the same thing. And you say, well, if I believe Christ as my Savior, then He's got to be my Savior. Have you called on Him? If you didn't call on Him, how can you receive Him? Because that all goes together. Then there's the M, which speaks of me. It's Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to Him. You don't come to another person. You don't come to any institution. You don't come to a church. You're not supposed to say that. You want more people to come to church. No, we want people to be saved. And if they're saved and you're genuinely saved, I think there'd be a desire to come to church. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, You come as you are. You can't come as you're not. You come as you are. You can't come by your good works. You don't have any. You can't come with your money. Money can't buy salvation. You come because you're a sinner in need of being saved. There's only one that can save you. Jesus saith unto him, Philip, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Come to Christ. Obey his command to come to Christ. And who do you come to? You come to Christ. And number three, four, eternal life. Eternal life. Go with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And look down here in verse 28. I'm going to skip the verses before, but this one is self-explanatory. And I give unto them, in verse 27, hear his voice. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now listen, I learned this verse with using the word never in the Greek, which means that it was used as a fourfold negative. Right? The English chose to use the word never. All right? Does never mean never? We had some friends that said years ago, they were talking about missions, and there was a city north of us that was an Indian city, Browning, they said, I would never go to Browning because they're just all Indians. Guess where the Lord put them? When I was in high school, a bunch of kids stole a Ford, 51 Ford convertible. And so the word spread around lunchtime that they were given free rides. So I went. And, you know, quick ride, came back, 51 Ford, that's pretty neat. So I had a friend, his name is Jerry Treffinger. And he said, I would never, you guys are crazy, I would never get in a stolen car. Guess who got arrested? Jerry Treffinger. Because the police pulled him over. He wasn't driving, he was just one of the guys in there. You'd be careful to say never. Because never is either means never or it doesn't mean never. And if you change the word, don't use it. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Is that good enough for you? John chapter 11. And look at verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die spiritually. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then the question, believest thou this? Come and see. You know, we started with in Isaiah 55. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Does that imply that he's not always going to be found? Absolutely. You need to seek him while you can. I understand the verse and the dividing of the scriptures that we are living in an age of grace. We call it the church age. When the Lord comes for us and takes us home to be with him, then the age of grace will no longer exist. And our Lord will return 7 years later as a judge, not a savior. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. If you held your place, Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You are the whosoevers. I am the whosoever. If you're here without Christ, here's your invitation. It is the greatest invitation you can ever be given. You're permitted to come. You're invited to come. You're commanded to come. These people next door that don't believe a whole lot about a lot of things are also whosoevers. The ones across the street that believe in baptismal regeneration, that salvation is not by grace through faith alone. You have to be water baptized. They are whosoevers. The one over across the street there that says, oh, you can't say anything about anything theological because it's all personal. And they have been walking away from the Word of God for, I don't know, decades and decades. They are whosoevers. When you go to the store, you have a store full of whosoevers. You go to the beach. If you go to the beach, there are a slew of whosoevers. Wherever you go, there are whosoevers. They're everywhere. And we should be saying, come and see. Not put a zipper over our lips and just look and say, oh, this is horrible. This is so disgusting. Are you giving out His invitation? Are we giving out His invitation? And if not, why? Simple word. Actually, three words. Come and see. And whosoever. I hope we don't walk away from here this morning and saying, I just don't know who whosoever is. I don't understand what come and see is all about. Because I don't think God will let you do that. I think He'll hold you to what's here. We need to see people saved. We're not going to save them on the basis of just saying words. We need to entreat them. We need to plead with them. God's given us the ministry of reconciliation. It's important. I don't know where you are today spiritually. I hope there's just a slew of us here that are saved. And if not, that you'll get saved. And if you know you're not saved, then you come. You respond to God's invitation. It is not my invitation. And let somebody sit down with you and show you that you can know beyond any questions, beyond just coming, but actually seeing that it's for you, personally. And God will deal with you in ways you never knew that He could deal with you. You may be here, you may be visiting, and Lord's just impressing upon you that, you know, I should be a part of this local church as a member. Then you respond to what He's doing inside of you. You may be saved. You never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Why don't you obey Him? What's so hard about obeying Him? After what Christ has done for us. Why is that so difficult? Let's pray. As you bow your heads this morning, would you allow the Lord to examine your heart? You may say, no, I'm not going to do it. Well, that's going to be a hefty price to pay. But for you that do, what is He saying? What is He seeing? Does He see somebody that knows Christ as Savior? That they've come, they've seen? Or does He see somebody that knows the words and not the Savior? He's available here this morning. He wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you to depend on anything other than what He's done for you, what's here in His Word. And if you come to Him, He will not deny you. We who are saved, what are we doing with the greatest invitation the world has ever or will ever know? And why are we withholding it? The Lord's speaking to your heart this morning. You feel the need to come and pray. You need to come and talk with somebody. You know that we make ourselves available, and we want what the Lord wants for you. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for loving us with a love that is beyond our human comprehension. That love through Jesus Christ is so powerful. and what he has done for us, for everyone, needs to be examined with the light of your word. That he did come and live the perfect life, that he did die on the cross, that he did shed his blood, that he was buried, that he did rise from the dead, to pave the way for you to be saved, to come and see and receive him by calling on him in faith as your Savior. You come, let somebody show you. And I pray that we who are saved would understand that we've been entrusted with this precious message. So speak to our hearts, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area he is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust him as your personal Savior, he will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in his finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.